I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Thursday, January 23rd. What to know today about the first opening arguments in the impeachment trial, a first-of-its-kind election with mobile voting, and who hacked Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, plus an NFL retirement, Tesla's major milestone, and NASA's naming contest. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday, where we ask, are there racist robots? Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. All right, the opening arguments have begun in President Trump's impeachment trial. Only the third impeachment trial of an American president in history. And Democrats are up first. They have 3 days, about 8 hours each day, to argue their side, before President Trump's attorneys will have the same amount of time to defend him. On day one of the opening arguments yesterday, the impeachment managers who are prosecuting the case went through the evidence so far, walking the 100 senators who are there as the jury through the timeline and every phone call, email, and related document discovered so far, from the whistleblower complaint to emails from the president's personal attorney to the $400 million in military aid meant for Ukraine that was put on hold, in what they say was added pressure on Ukraine to investigate President Trump's political rivals. They even showed video clips of the president himself, like when he publicly asked Ukraine and China to investigate the Bidens. They say it's not just a coincidence Joe Biden is also running for president. Altogether, the House managers argued it's proof the president tried to cheat in the 2020 election. They tried to appeal to moderate Republicans to vote Trump out of office to, quote, protect our democracy. For now, the president's defense team has to pretty much sit there silently. They'll get their turn for opening arguments later. But President Trump has been anything but quiet about it. In fact, Politico reports he set a new Twitter record yesterday, tweeting more than 140 times. That's the most he's tweeted in a single day since he's become president. He also talked about it some on camera while at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. He said his team has a great case, and he wanted to go to the trial just to stare down Democrats in their, quote, corrupt faces. After the trial, some Republican senators also spoke to media, calling it all politically motivated. Democrats will continue their opening arguments for the next couple of days. Trump's defense team may start their arguments on Saturday. Well, this is a first. NPR reports a district in the Seattle area is the first to allow every voter to cast a ballot using a smartphone, allowing more than a million registered voters in King County to vote using an online portal on their phone or computer. It's for a local race, a seat on the board of a local agency there, but it's also sort of a test of this system. So the nation is watching, and it's pretty controversial. Supporters of mobile voting say it'll boost voter turnout, making it more convenient and accessible for more people to participate. But critics say election security is at risk, and the results can't be trusted. Voters still do have the option to vote by mail. UN experts are demanding an investigation because new evidence indicates Saudi Arabia's crown prince hacked Jeff Bezos's cell phone. Jeff Bezos, as in the founder of Amazon, owner of the Washington Post, and one of the richest people in the world. His phone was hacked back in 2018, and he asked for this investigation. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports, new information shows his phone was likely hacked through a WhatsApp message with spyware, and the WhatsApp account who sent it appears to belong to Saudi crown prince Mohammed bin Salman. The New York Times reports it's believed the crown prince did this to silence the Washington Post's critical coverage of Saudi Arabia, or at least try to. But Saudi officials say not true and called the accusation silly. TBD if there will actually be a U.S. investigation now. An entire Chinese city of 11 million people is now on lockdown because of that mysterious virus we've been telling you about. The BBC reports people living in Wuhan, China, are being asked to stay put, and officials have shut down trains, buses, and outbound flights. That's because the new coronavirus, which affects the respiratory system, has now killed 17 people and sickened more than 500 others. Officials are trying to stop it from spreading, and screenings at airports around the world continue. Meantime, the World Health Organization says it's not ready yet to decide if it should be considered a global health emergency, but they will meet again today. The U.S. Transportation Department wants to crack down on people claiming their animals are for emotional support when they're not really. The department is proposing some new rules that would only allow dogs to fly as service animals. If this rule goes into effect, other animals like miniature horses, cats, and even turkeys will not be allowed to board the plane as a service animal. ABC News reports airlines have seen an uptick in the number of people claiming their pets are for emotional support. For now, the proposal is open for public comment before a final decision will be made. New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning is retiring after 16 seasons with the NFL. ESPN says he's one of just five players in NFL history to be named the Super Bowl's most valuable player twice. He also holds almost every passing record in team history, and he's said to be the NFL's highest paid player ever. Manning is 39 now, and he'll surely be in the conversation, at least, for the Hall of Fame once he's eligible. He's set to announce his retirement officially at a press conference tomorrow. All right, we have much more news ahead, but first, thanks to our sponsor this week, Native Deodorant. Native offers a natural, safe, and great-smelling way to stay fresh all day. Look, I made the switch a while ago to natural deodorants, and I've tried a bunch of different brands. Honestly, Native is my favorite. It smells the best, and it lasts the longest. And what I mean by a natural deodorant is that it's formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. With Native, less is more. The ingredients are simple, and you don't need to put a lot on for it to work. In fact, Native has more than 9,000 five-star reviews from happy customers, and I'm one of them. If you're curious, there's no risk to try. There's free shipping on every order, and Native offers 30-day free returns and exchanges in the U.S. As a starting point, I love the coconut and vanilla scent, but they have a variety of options. Oh, and you can get 20% off your first purchase when you visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code NEWSWORTHY during checkout. Again, go to nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code NEWSWORTHY during checkout. Now back to the news. Tesla hit a historic milestone. Reuters says it's the first publicly listed U.S. automaker to hit $100 billion in market valuation. Tesla's stocks were trading at a record high of more than $590 per share. And the milestone could mean a huge payday for Tesla CEO Elon Musk. If Tesla's market value stays above $100 billion over the next 6 months, he could get a payout worth nearly $400 million. General Motors is working on a driverless taxi of sorts. It's called the Cruise Origin, and it's a six-seater emissions-free minibus with no steering wheel or pedals. Customers can't buy one, but CNN says they will be able to eventually ride in one through a ride-sharing app. To open the door, customers will enter a code on the keyboard and hit a button to start their trip. No word on when the shuttles will actually be allowed on roads, but it's said to be coming in the near future. NASA is almost ready to send its next rover to Mars, but it needs a name first. Business Insider says students from across the U.S., from kindergarten up to high school, submitted more than 28,000 potential names, and that list has now been cut down to just 9. Some of the names include Endurance, Promise, Clarity, and Courage. Now NASA is asking you to vote for your favorite name online. The winning name will be announced in March. The rover is expected to launch in July and look for signs of ancient life and lay the groundwork for future human exploration. You can find the link to the poll in today's show notes. The Sundance Film Festival kicks off today. It's held every year in Utah and showcases independent films. 117 films will be played at this year's festival, including the opening night film, Tonight, the Netflix documentary, Miss Americana, which follows the transformation of Taylor Swift as she begins to share more of her own beliefs and political views. Deadline says the movie will debut at Sundance, then launch on Netflix later this month. Sundance lasts until February 2nd. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about, as our guest put it, racist robots. Okay, what we mean by that is artificial intelligence with a bias. Yes, computers can potentially pick up the same biases humans have historically had, all from the data we give them. There have been a couple of related news stories we've talked about just this week, but today we're talking with award-winning filmmaker Shalini Kantaya and what she discovered while making the film Coded Bias, which actually premieres this weekend at the 2020 Sundance Film Festival. Coded Bias has already been called one of the best 10 documentary films you can't miss and a must-watch movie for leaders in 2020. So here's our conversation about artificial intelligence and bias. Hi, Shalini. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thanks so much for having me, Erica.
So first, let's talk about what artificial intelligence really is. How does it work? How do you like to explain it to people who don't know a lot about it?
Okay. I want to start with a disclaimer that I am a filmmaker. I am not an AI researcher. So the way that I learned about AI are through the sort of data scientists and mathematicians in the film. And the way that they sort of explain the way AI and machine learning works is that it takes past data to make a prediction about the future. How likely you are to pay off a loan, how likely you are to be a good candidate for a job.
So to that point, AI is being used across industries, from law enforcement to healthcare and beyond. You listed some of the examples. So explain how a computer can have bias.
Yeah, it seems a little crazy, right? That there could be like such a thing called like racist robots. We sort of think of machines as being neutral. And what I learned in the making of this film is that sort of all of these data-driven systems rely on data. As data reflects our human reality, sort of the machine learning also comes to reflect that. So in other words, if the data is biased, if humans are biased, then the computer sort of replicates it. And sometimes it happens in ways that we're not even aware of. For instance, Amazon invented an AI that would be sort of a gatekeeper to hiring. And totally unbeknownst to the programmers who had no intention of bias, the AI sorting system sort of started to discriminate against all women. And so if you had a women's sport or a women's college on your resume, this AI would say that you would be not a good candidate for the job. And so this is a way where sort of historical inequality can get encoded into our AI systems.
So what are some examples that we may see in your film?
My film follows a really incredible woman named Joy Balamwini, who is a MIT Media Lab researcher who discovered that commercially available facial recognition technology does not see dark-skinned faces or women with accuracy. And it follows her journey to sort of uncover bias in so many of the algorithms that impact us all, from how teachers are evaluated to deciding how long someone should serve in prison, how strict their probation should be. So these machines are making really important decisions about the destinies of human beings. And it's really important that human ethics play a role in these technologies.
There is an argument that this technology can save lives, right? It can help solve crimes, it can find child molesters, that sort of thing. Can you see the potential good of the technology?
Absolutely. I love technology. I'm a tech head. Many of the data scientists and mathematicians in my film love technology. We want this technology to work for everyone. And we want to shine a light on the dangers and the sort of inadvertent harms that this technology can use if we don't exercise human oversight.
What do you think the solution is? Should we put a pause on all use of this technology today until we figure this out? Do we just slowly work towards the solution? What should be done?
Well, I think the first step, and I hope the step that my film Coded Bias will play, is to really get educated about the ways algorithms are impacting our lives and how automated decision making is impacting our liberties, our civil rights, and our democracy. And I think that that starts there, is starting to learn. I think that, look, we love this stuff. For us, for so many of us, we look at these algorithms like magic, our Netflix queue, our Spotify suggestions, like so much of our the things that sort of give us tactical pleasure come from these technologies. But I think what I'm saying is that these technologies are developing at such a fast rate by a very small group of people who don't have a lens of what's in the common good and in the common interest. So it's still up to us, we the people and legislators, to say, we need you to prove that these algorithms are safe.
Again, Coded Bias premieres this weekend at Sundance, but you can get future updates at codedbias.com. And as always, you can read more about this topic and all the news stories mentioned today at thenewsworthy.com. Just click episodes and find today's date. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.